Welcome back. Any viewers and listeners, thank you guys for watching and listening. If you are watching us live on YouTube, you can always write in and comment and ask us questions and, you know, talk shit, tell us about your teams, whatever. We always love that. Thank you very much. My name is Nick Masick. We also have Lonnie Cox and Vital DeJuiced. We are Fantasy TE. Thank you guys for watching and listening. So on today's show, we got some fun stuff. We're going to talk about records being set and records being broken. We're going to talk about some coaches being fired and maybe some that need to be fired. And we're also going to talk about a QB that I think maybe deserves a chance to keep his job. But before we get into all that, we're going to start with Why Your Team Sucks by Lonnie Cox. Take it away, Lonnie.
Hello, everybody. It's starting to get into that point in the season where there's so many teams that suck. I can't remember which ones we've done and which ones we haven't. I was starting this week to remind us about Oakland, which is awful, or Las Vegas. That's how bad they are. I don't even remember what city they're in. But I'm pretty sure that we talked about the Las Vegas Raiders, who have blown now their third 17-point lead of the season and are sitting at a pretty abysmal 2-6. But we're going to the town that nobody's ever been to, Indianapolis, for today's segment. Vital, you can let people know how it feels to draft Jonathan Taylor with, I believe, the number one overall pick. You took Jonathan Taylor,
as many. Oh, it's terrible. I've been trying to dump him now for weeks. Can't do it.
Now you can't even get rid of him. Yeah, it's just been an abysmal offense they've gone through. I think they've gone through 8 or 9 quarterbacks since Andrew Luck retired only a couple of years ago. Frank Reich got fired today. What happened in Indianapolis? It's hard to tell, but God, does your team suck? It's been hard to watch. I think all of us on this podcast picked them to win the division.
Yeah.
Right? I believe so.
They had such a strong season last season, dude. I thought
they were a lock to win that division. And now we're looking at maybe Tennessee, I guess, is really the only viable team in that whole division. They're arguably the worst division in football, I would say, right?
I don't know. The NFC South is still pretty terrible.
Yeah. But still, not good. Not good. They're arguably the worst division in football. We'll see how that pans out, but they're certainly in the running for that for sure.
I mean, it sucks because they had a great defense. Was that last year or 2 years ago? They had a phenomenal defense. They were built for the playoffs of offensive line, running back, decent receivers, Phillip Rivers. They just couldn't get over the hump. You thought they were one piece away, two pieces away, and they would make a real push. And so did apparently their owner, which is why he fired their coach today. God, Indianapolis, you suck. Your team is awful.
Your team is awful. Yeah, I agree. That team is a dumpster fire right now. And it sucks because there were players you thought might have fantasy value on that team, especially Jonathan Taylor, number one overall. I feel like this happens a lot, though. You know, we talk about the number one overall pick. How often does the number one overall pick just not pan out at all? You know,
actually, it's like a curse. This is like, at this point, it feels like the Madden curse, you know. Whoever's the number one pick. Wasn't it Saquon last year too with the injury? I'm never doing it again.
It's been Saquon.
The bait.
We've had Le'Veon Bell sit out for the whole year. David Johnson broke his wrist in recent was it David Johnson? The Cardinals running back who was super hot for a couple of years and then he broke. Like, there's been a lot of consensus number one overalls. Christian McCaffrey's,
that's crazy. It really
is. Think about the guys. Yeah. And some of them are back and playing well now. Some of those guys we just named. But when they are like the consensus number one, it's almost like it's maybe superstitious, but you almost want to like veer left, you know, like go Austin Eckler, or, you know, it's just something a little bit different. Maybe the number two or three guy, just to avoid that curse. I don't know. It's weird.
Oh, I'm paying for it, dude. I'm paying for it now.
You sure are, man. Your team sucks. We could do Why Your Team Sucks about Vital's team at some point. That would be fun.
Oh, I couldn't take it.
He's my friend, man. I'm not gonna beat him up.
you're gonna beat him up in the standings, that's for sure.
I'm already most likely having to do an interpretive dance. I'm already getting limber, dude.
I mean, the teams, that's what I love about our last place penalty, is that the teams at the bottom try harder than the teams at the top, really. Like, it's the best, it's the best motivation of any league to keep it fair and balanced. You had two teams that are not in the our playoff picture right now that had put up the most points this week. Like, you see the teams at the bottom that are scrapping and scraping to try to get that one hit on a, you know, last minute waiver or make a trade or whatever. It keeps our league really interesting. It keeps it fair and balanced and very interesting when we, the bottom teams, have so much to worry about. All right, let's see what else we got on our list today. Joe Mixon, 5 touchdowns. Wow.
Fucking disgusting. Yeah.
Unbelievable. You could have taken Joe Mixon with your first overall pick. Everyone would have shit on you, but then you'd be looking good right now.
I had him last year too, and he did me well.
Like, this is his second year in a row being really great, really consistent. And yeah, dude, pretty much anybody who played against Joe Mixon yesterday lost. 5 touchdowns. It's hard to overcome that. So he tied the record for second most in a game. He set the Bengals franchise record. A lot of people have scored 5 touchdowns. Only 3 people are in first place tied with 6 touchdowns in one game. Do you guys remember the last player to do it?
Alvin Kamara.
Alvin Kamara. And I think it was like three or four years ago. It was one of his.
Oh, wasn't it last year on Christmas?
Was it last year? I thought it was 2 years ago.
I remember the red and green shoes.
I think it was 2 years ago.
It was. I think it was. You might be right about Christmas. So yeah, Alvin Kamara tied for first.
It was 100% on Christmas. I remember the red and green shoes.
Yeah, yeah. That was good. But yeah. Joe Mixon looking good. He's looking like he's benefiting. He's probably the one major beneficiary, it looks like, from the Jamar Chase injury. But Chase will probably be back at some point. So he was getting a lot of those like little screens because he's a really good receiver too. That's the thing about Mixon. So he's been asked to pick up some of the slack for Chase, it seems like. Let's see what else we got. Brady broke 100,000 passing yards. It's fucking ridiculous. Is anybody else ever going to get, just to put it into perspective, Drew Brees, 85,000. Tom Brady, 100,000. No one's ever going to get close to this record, right? I mean, he's not even done yet. Divorce was finalized. I am all for. I think I brought this up. Dude, what else does he have to do? He obviously doesn't care about his kids. Just say fuck it. Like, he just wants to play football. The guy just wants to play football. I want to see him go to San Francisco and take the league minimum for 5 more years and just see what they can do with the money and put it around, like build him a line. Dude, he's still throwing the ball. He's still balling out. That last minute drive to win that game, just like classic vintage Brady. It was great. He's still got it though. He hasn't lost it. The team doesn't have it right now, but he's still got it. I want to see him go to San Francisco and win like 2 Super Bowls with them in his late 40s. I think that'd be fucking great. Put all the records way out of reach. Another record that was out of reach for a while. Justin Fields, broke Michael Vick's single game quarterback rushing record, which was a 20-year record. A lot of people questioned whether that record might ever be broken. And Justin Fields fucking ran it up. So got a new top quarterback rusher. Vital picked him for his worst quarterback last year.
Beyond that, this guy has screwed me in so many ways. First off, the stress of the game in real life. Second, I had to play against him against fantasy, and he put up 45 points. I was projected to win until that happened.
Yeah.
45 points from him. Done. And now in this QB pick.
You at least the Dolphins beat him. I mean, you didn't lose all 3 of those, but
listen, I like to have a nice chill game. We could have had like a 3 touchdown cushion. That would have been a more enjoyable experience for me instead of me cussing all the time and wishing death upon the refs. I don't like to be that guy.
Oh man, that was a fun game. That was exciting. I think the Bears have figured out their offense with him. It seemed like they've gone kind of the Ravens route where they're like, listen, we know what he does well. We know what he doesn't do well. And when they put him in a better position to throw the ball, guys are wide open and he can make some throws. So,
don't forget is the addition of Chase Claypool, I think is huge for that offense. Like they have something, in Chase Claypool. I've always been a Chase Claypool fan. I think he's big, he's strong, he's fast. I think he's a great receiver. I mean, Ben Roethlisberger made him look like an all-pro, you know, a couple of years ago. So there's definitely potential for Chase Claypool, but I think what you've got that Chicago hasn't had in a very long time is a true number one kind of, maybe not a true number one, but a number one look where the guy is going to draw double coverage pretty consistently, get him the ball. But Chicago historically has always had the Brandon Marshalls, the Alshon Jeffries, that number one tall receiver that can pull the attention away. The Allen Robinson obviously was great. You know, they've got that guy Mooney there is very fast, but they haven't really had a true all-star receiver. I mean, I don't want to discount what Allen Robinson did, but, you know.
Well, here's what I'll say. This is kind of, and this it does fit with the Bears, what they've been when they've had good teams is, I don't know if they have a number one, but they have two number twos. How about that?
Sure.
Like, I feel like Mooney and Claypool are both like quality number twos, and that's enough to make you second guess what you're doing. They also have quality running backs, and now you got and a good tight end, really good tight end. Cole Kmet had a good game, and now you got a running quarterback. This is kind of the Bears' recipe for winning, you know?
And a good run. And I don't know. I'm sorry if I was paying attention to the cat, but a great running game, too.
Good running. I said two good running backs. A good running game. Yeah. Very good running game. So they're kind of, this is sort of the Bears' formula, and it has been for a while, but it all kind of fits with what they do. And then if he can be almost like, you know, he doesn't even have to be Lamar. If he can be kind of Lamar-ish, you know, then they could be a tough team to beat. They are a tough team to beat. They just gave the Dolphins a good run for their money. So, you see some Chicago spoilers coming down the line the second half of the season? You think they're going to upset a couple teams maybe?
Yeah, absolutely. From what I saw, man, Fields is playing great, man. He's very evasive. And once he starts like breaking a couple third down, like drives like that's very deflating to a defense. And then you have to play up close. You try to containment, which opens up like a guy like Kmet.
Right. Yeah. Opens up a lot of guys. Although their running backs, it hurt their running, like their running backs are not doing well in fantasy. That's the biggest downside I see right now for fantasy. If you got those running backs, man, they didn't do shit yesterday. So that hurts you. But yeah, you like the upside with Mooney. You like the upside with Kmet maybe. And I don't know if Claypool's fantasy value went up or down. I feel like it was a lateral move. Still,
I disagree. I think it went up.
Do you? Yeah, okay.
How many targets he got already on his first week in a brand new system? I think he got the ball eight or nine times.
At least something I feel like I've noticed about Bears receivers. I feel like both of them never pop at the same time. It's either one or the other. Because when they had Mooney last year, it was like that.
Yeah. They just don't throw it enough to have two receivers pop at the same time. It's kind of like the Ravens, you know, like the Ravens have never had for the Lamar era. Have they ever had two receivers go off at the same time? They just don't. It's not how they're built. It's not what they're built for. So yeah, it's kind of pick your, you know, maybe you throw one of those guys in as a flex, but okay. You think Claypool's value goes up. Yeah. We'll see. I think that you might be right. What else we got? Derrick Henry. We talked about Derrick Henry last week. I didn't even realize he tied for the most 200 plus yards rushing yard games with two other players. So now he's tied for the most 200 plus yard games in NFL history. Two questions. One, do you guys think he breaks this record this year? Do you think he gets another 200 yard game this year? And or does he get one more in his career? What do you think, Alon?
Their schedule is...
How many more does he need in his career?
Well, no, he's tied for the most right now.
He'll get another in his career for sure.
You think this season? One more in his career for sure. What about this season? Are we going to get one more this season? Because we're going to play a game. We're going to do a new segment today. So hold this thought. I'm going to add this to our list. We're going to play a new game called Over Under, where I give you guys overs and unders. You have to pick them. So I had three already in mind. We'll do this one too. We'll do over under on Derrick Henry's. All right. So we're going to come back to that. But do you guys know who the other two players with 600, six 200 yard rushing games? They're both very famous. You won't be surprised by either of them. Probably
Adrian Peterson, Emmitt Smith.
Adrian Peterson is one of them. Emmitt Smith was not.
Barry Sanders.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
All right, Vitaly, you get one. Lonnie's thrown out. Do you got any guesses? We already got AP.
I was going to say Barry Sanders, but no.
No? Okay, I'll give you.
Hold on. Wait. Can you give me what era?
Yeah, I was going to give you the era.
200-yard games.
Six 200-plus yard games. It was it's an old bygone era. I want to say 60s, 70s, I think.
Jim Brown.
What's that?
Jim Brown?
No. 70s then. I think it was maybe
Earl Campbell.
Who is the guy with the fridge? Is that him?
Is it Earl Campbell?
No, you guys aren't thinking of him because he's famous for some other shit.
Oh, OJ.
OJ, that's right.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man.
Yep. Adrian Peterson and OJ Simpson are the only two other players who've rushed for six times for 200-plus yards.
So Derrick Henry, what you're saying is going to be convicted of some domestic violence incident shortly.
Statistically speaking, he has a very good chance of being convicted of something, of domestic something or other. All right. So
yeah, but that just goes with being an NFL player, doesn't it?
I mean, it's, you know,
if I was a betting man,
the odds are in his favor. All right. So let me ask you this. We talked about statues last week. If you're giving Derrick Henry a statue, what play are you molding it out of? And is
easy.
It
that easy?
How disrespectful is it to put Josh Norman in the statue?
Come on, I'm sorry. It is what it is. Play, you don't want to do it, don't get stiff-armed. You know, the part of it is you got to remember the context is that Josh Norman was talking so much shit at that time in his career. Whatever happened to him? Where is he still in the NFL?
I feel like he went to Washington, disappeared.
He was in Washington. I don't think he's in the NFL anymore.
He might still be on a squad. I mean, he might be like a nickel corner for like,
He's a free agent.
Okay. But he did play for a while. He played really well for a while. That was just past his peak. With Carolina, he was a baller. He was the number one corner.
For like a year or two. I mean, he was the best player. He was the best corner in the NFL.
For like 2 years at least. He was on that team that went to the Super Bowl. So no disrespect, Josh Norman was a fucking phenomenal talent. But, and also, he was a guy who wasn't afraid. You know how many cornerbacks, what they should do is put Josh Norman in there, but on the back of Josh Norman, don't put his name on the jersey, just list all the cornerbacks who have avoided ever trying to tackle him. Like here lies Josh Norman, the only cornerback to ever actually step up and try to tackle Derrick Henry. that was a great play. So can you put another player in in their statue? Is that even allowed? Oh man.
I think you have to white out the jersey. That's the rules. Yeah, I wouldn't have my name on that.
Everybody knows who he is, though, man. Everybody knows who it is.
Still. Right.
I know. But it was that was the moment. That's like the if you give Marshawn Lynch one, you know, the one where he throws. I don't even know who the player was because it wasn't as notable of a player, but he just like
trucked. He did it to three guys that play.
He did it to three.
Adrian Peterson did it too. Adrian Peterson did it, and then they created an animation in Madden. Remember that? Really? He did it to a guy on the Browns. And he just, like ripped him over. Remember that?
Oh,
that he like,
yeah. I do remember that.
That was one of the most impressive things I've ever seen.
Yeah. The Josh Norman was funny. He took a tumble. He literally rolled. He just somersault.
Flying in the air. Yeah. He was like completely airborne. Derrick Henry just picked him up and threw him. Not fair. Not fair at all. I respect Josh Norman for trying. You know, it's like getting posterized. There's so many guys who are just ducking under Derrick Henry now, especially since then. They're like, I don't want to be on that. I don't want to be posterized. all right, we had some big upsets yesterday. How about the Jets? J-E-T-S. Jets knocking off the Bills, man. What was that? Do you guys believe in the Jets? I mean, I know Josh Allen didn't look like himself. He made some mistakes, but that was also the Jets' defense kind of forcing him into some bad spots. Do we think the Jets can make noise in the playoffs now?
No.
Still no?
I don't think. Yeah.
You're just thinking.
I just don't believe it. And then they now Bryce Hall's hurt. This is after that too. I think they did a great defensive effort. That's really what kept them in the game. And then Josh Allen, I think, is hurt too. So
Josh Allen hurt his elbow. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So we think this is more of a divisional fluke slash Josh Allen, maybe not
stuff, injuries, right time, right thing, but the Bills will get healthy again. Mm-hmm. I don't see it.
All right. You buy one. I'm not saying they beat the Bills, but you think they can beat somebody maybe in wild card weekend or something like that? I think they can maybe knock off somebody. You look at the bottom.
I think the AFC's too stacked, dude. Even if they get in the wild card, I don't think they're going to beat anyone.
Oh, I think the Jets are making the playoffs, man. I like
in the AFC East over who? Aren't they? What are they? They're
I think the AFC right East sends three teams to the playoffs. That's what I think. Possible.
A lot.
AFC South is only sending right. one. The AFC West is only sending one. And then you got
AFC West will send two, I think.
Really?
Yeah.
You think the Chargers are going to go over the Jets?
Maybe? I think the Chargers will sneak in the last spot. Yeah.
What about the AFC North? We're going to have two AFC North
teams. I would say it's right now between the Chargers and the Bengals for the bubble. You know what I mean?
The Jets could make that interesting. The Jets could be in the discussion there.
I mean, as of right now, the playoff picture is, I think, because of victories, you've actually got the Jets in second place in the AFC East. They have the same record as the Dolphins. But I believe
they took a game,
beat the Dolphins. So,
could be, the division record is going to maybe come into play. That's going to be,
But that's a game without two. And we still played in the last game of the season. We'll get that back.
You might need to win that game to knock them out of the playoffs. That could end up being a play in game. Oh, that'd be great, man. Jets, Dolphins, end of the season play in game. Oh, boy. Let's hope for that. Sounds awesome.
Not getting sweet by the Jets. Never once. That won't happen, bro.
I'm glad we have that on video. That's good. I'm glad that we have that officially on video recorded. All right, how about the Lions beating the Packers? This was not even really an upset. This just kind of – I mean, it was because the Lions haven't been good. But, man, the Packers haven't either. Aaron Rodgers threw three interceptions, two in the red zone, really kind of three in the red zone because one of them was a long pass that was picked off in the red zone, but he wasn't in the red zone when he threw it. That was just ugly, man. Like, oh God, is there any way to get the Packers right? Is there any hope for them this year? Or is this just,
It's go back in time and stop Devontae Adams from leaving. Like,
I know.
What a bad move that was for both of them. Right.
I know for everybody, involved is just disappointed by this.
And the Packers, like, it's so funny. I saw something today, a stat. It was like, the Packers lead the league in almost getting good players at trade deadline. It's like, how many years are they like, oh, we almost got. And it's like, dude, stop trying to win every single trade that you're involved in and just do something that's mutually beneficial.
Right.
Like, you want Darren Waller, then go get him. You want Brandon Cooks, go get him. You want somebody, just go get him. Like, stop. Yeah. What do you do?
It's so insane because they act like they don't have the best fan base in football, arguably, right? Like, they're going to pay, dude. Like, you'll make money. Pay the players.
Yeah. The Jordan Love thing, you know, they have made some really they let Za'Darius Smith go. Like, they have made some really questionable front office decisions in the last couple of years. It's really been a shame to watch.
It has. The Jordan Love thing was super weird. I don't love the idea. When are teams just going to realize don't draft your future quarterback when you have a quarterback? Like, try to fucking win, you know? The San Francisco, imagine if they had drafted somebody instead of Trey Lance, you know? Imagine if they had drafted another great defensive player or skill position guy or even a lineman.
Brees Hall.
Yeah, like – the number of guys
that was year before that.
Yeah. But you get my point. It's, I mean, with them, I get it. It's a little bit different. They didn't fully buy in on Jimmy G, but you got Aaron Rodgers, man. Like, why are you drafting, you know, using a first round pick on Jordan Love? Like, he might never be anything. So, and there's always moves to be made. Don't draft a quarterback unless you need a quarterback.
You know what it is, dude? I don't even think it's necessarily don't draft a quarterback. It's the status of QB that he drafted. He drafted like a first round QB who's probably expected to play within the next 2 years. You just put your other QB on a clock. If he's just some like seventh round pick, you're like, yo, it's for security, you know.
Yeah. But and also didn't utilize that draft capital for something that's really going to benefit your team immediately and potentially long term, you know?
Let's see. Let's go back to the Jordan Love draft pick and let's see what receivers were on the board at that time.
Oof. It's going to be gonna hurt. Ooh, this is going to be good. Yeah. Are you pulling this up?
All right. I like this.
I am pulling this up.
Brutal for the Packers. You got more trades you want to talk about too. While you're looking that up,
Jordan Love was drafted.
Okay, what do you got?
Yeah. Jordan Love was drafted with the 26th pick in the NFL draft in 2020. So let's see here.
What was it 2020?
T. Higgins,
Michael Pittman Jr., DeAndre Swift, Jonathan Taylor, KJ Hamler, Chase Claypool. Cam Akers, let's see. Yeah.
That's
AJ Dillon, who they did get.
They did get, yeah. That's a pretty solid list of very big contributors in the NFL since then. That I'm sure Aaron Rodgers would have loved to have had. Imagine if they had T. Higgins and didn't get rid of Davante Adams. Would we be talking about this team having won the Super Bowl last year? You know? Potentially. They might have already won one if they had T. Higgins opposite Adams. And you win, say you win a Super Bowl. Adams isn't going anywhere if he just wins a Super Bowl. He's coming back for more. It's crazy. It's crazy. All right. Let's get some more trade action. The Panthers fired, speaking of teams that suck, Panthers fired two more coaches, not head coaches. Let's just get rid of a couple more. After they got blown out, but there's a lot of trades. We brought up a couple trades. This was probably one of the more interesting trades. Calvin Ridley to the Jags. A lot of people were very surprised by this, me included. What do we think this combo could be going forward? Calvin Ridley will be, I think, 28 next year. Trevor Lawrence is going to be in his third year, which is often when that quarterback really takes a big leap. And he's been playing pretty well already this year. He's been a fantasy star worthy quarterback already. How good is this combo? Give me some combo comparisons as how good you think Trevor Lawrence and Calvin Ridley could be for like the next 3 years, we'll say, till Calvin Ridley hits like 30.
You know, Calvin Ridley reminds me of those guys that they're not super big. They're not the fastest guy on the field, but they've got sure hands. I remember watching him in college and being like, man, you know, a guy like Tom Brady would love a Calvin Ridley, like somebody that's just, he's going to get you the 11, the 12 yard catches. He's a sharp route runner. He's smart. He's going to get you those balls when you need them. And then he went to the Falcons and Matt Ryan. I mean, he took them to, they were, you know, the part of a Super Bowl winning offense. I mean, they are Super Bowl offense. Right. And they did have Julio Jones. Calvin Ridley was not the number one guy.
He was close though. He was they almost had two number ones, speaking of teams.
Almost.
Who
it reminds me of in the past, I want to say like an Eli Manning, Victor Cruz kind of situation, where it's like a very sure-handed guy, someone that's going to win the matchups on the one-on-ones. He's going to get you the passes. You know, this isn't, you're not talking about Tyreek Hill, right? You're not talking about somebody that's going to blow the top off of the defense, but you are talking about an Odell Beckham kind of guy. I don't know. Odell Beckham's probably a little bit more talented than him, but
a little bit.
A sure-handed. Huh?
How about, let me throw one. Well, I guess he's more of a blow the top off, but I'm thinking like Drew Brees, Brandon Cooks, but Brandon Cooks is a blow the top off guy.
Super fast, right?
Yeah, super fast. But what about a Marvin Harrison, Peyton Manning kind of connection?
Well, you know, I was just thinking of that.
Yeah, that's kind of what I see maybe. And maybe it's partly because it's in the same division, but like I could see that happening, you know, like an early Peyton, late Marvin sort of connection.
Tom Brady, Wes Welker kind of thing is also coming to mind for me.
Sure, yeah.
Tom Brady with all of those slot receivers.
Tom Brady with, fill in the name, Julian Edelman, whatever. Yeah, I think this could be really good. I think it could be really good from a fantasy perspective. How high will you consider drafting Ridley maybe next year? Are we thinking third, fourth rounder? Because I say he has potential to be the wide receiver, top five wide receiver in fantasy next year with Trevor Lawrence, especially if their defense is not great.
Nah, I don't believe in the Jaguar organization. I think they're still going to struggle. And with that's just going to cause a lot of up and downs. I think he might get three or four good games, if I'm being honest.
I disagree.
I think Travis Etienne is going to take a lot of points.
I think you're looking at a Jaguars team that is on the cusp of something pretty decent.
I do too.
Their defense is sneakily one of the better defenses in the league. They've got some real offensive punch that's starting now with Etienne that's going to take the pressure off of Trevor Lawrence. You've given him a big, humongous piece. Correct me if I'm wrong, that Calvin Ridley is suspended for betting on a Falcons-Jaguars game. I'm not mistaken. So that's very funny to me. I'm very interested in this pick. They've already got Christian Kirk. Like, they've got some pretty good guys.
Good players. I think
they're starting to build a team, which is very impressive for them, considering they were in the AFC Championship game 4 years ago, 5 years ago.
Seems like a lot longer, but yeah.
A total rebuild and coming back and being somebody that we're talking about on this podcast is pretty impressive. So I like it. I definitely like the move. Obviously, I don't know about that, Nick. I don't know if he's a top five guy, potentially top 10, I would say, might be his ceiling. But you never know.
I think he's going to be the clear number one on a team that's going to be a pretty high-powered offense with some very good other complementary players. So I think he might be looking at it, as long as his skill set hasn't diminished, you know, not Jamar Chase level, but close maybe to a Jamar Chase, a Cooper Kupp. One of those high-volume target guys. That's what we're talking about. Route running, you know, good lateral quickness and speed, and number one option on a high-powered offense. It'll be fun to see. I have him in Dynasty, which I'm very happy about. So we'll see what happens with that next year, but I have him already on one of my teams for next year. All right, what else we got?
I think there's a Nick Dynasty curse.
My Dynasty team, I've had some issues. I took first and second the first 2 years, so I wouldn't – curse is a strong term.
I just put it on you. I'm sorry, this is a year one.
No, I traded for him while he was – when I knew he was suspended.
You traded for Michael Thomas when you knew he was hurt too.
That's true, I did, you're right. But I haven't missed out on much. Adam Thielen hasn't done a whole lot this year, so. All right. Defensive trades don't make a lot of fantasy impact, but there was one that I think is definitely noteworthy, and I'm sure you guys are also probably on board with this. Bradley Chubb to the Finns. This is probably going to, I would say it's going to really maybe impact the Finns defense, which are already kind of on the fantasy radar to begin with. But then they got mopped up by Justin Fields. Do we think this is going to impact their long-term, you know, all-in kind of goal with the Super Bowl and also their fantasy defense? Yeah.
Yeah, this is more long-term because there's a lot of injuries on the Dolphins team right now. This is like a huge bandage and a hope for the future.
Yeah. But also, you're talking about arguably the best defensive line in football. I mean, can you think of one? I mean, who else?
Eagles are right there.
Three Eagles studs on this defensive line.
Yeah, right now. So, for sure. Yeah.
No, as a matter of fact, I'm sorry, correct that. Four. You've got Christian Wilkins, Jalen Phillips, Melvin Ingram, and now Bradley Chubb. I mean, I'm thinking in my mind, maybe Dallas,
maybe not.
San Diego, potentially.
How about
you're talking elite pass rush?
Definitely. They're not healthy, but I will say I'm curious to see what Washington does when Chase, what's his name?
Chase Young
comes back. He's a difference maker, and they're pretty built on that, their defensive line as well. They're an interesting team. That's one of the guys, one of the things I wanted to mention. Taylor Heinicke, I don't know why he wasn't named the starter. Now they lost, but he just keeps playing good football. He plays winning football. He makes, for the most part, he makes good decisions. Do you guys think Heinicke deserves a chance to be the starter for this team? He wins games.
Starter already?
He is now, but only because Wentz got hurt. But they made the move to get Carson Wentz. And, dude, Heinicke just seems like he's got juice, man. Ever since I saw him give the Bucks a run for their money the year that Tom Brady won the Super Bowl with Tampa. I felt like Heinicke has something and he deserves a shot. And he's kind of getting...
I think Heinicke's kind of like Foles, you know, man. He's good, like spark off the bench or midseason or something like that. But when he had the starting job, I think he had a lot of bad games too. Because I remember picking him a couple times during worst QB and winning. Like,
yeah, well, I don't think he had the pieces around him as much then either. He's got maybe more offensive firepower right now. And he's thrown a couple pretty nice deep balls that I've seen. I don't know.
No, he's good, but I think there's something about a whole season of him playing. That's probably why they want to get like a star in there. I get it. I don't know. Would you base your franchise around Heinicke?
I don't know. I want to see what he does for the rest of the year. Maybe I want to give him a shot. He just seems like, when I watch him, he seems like he's tough to beat. That's the thing. That's the thing about him. He seems like he's tough to beat. And the Vikings had a hard time beating them. They took him all the way. And I know their defense is playing well, but he's playing good complimentary football.
Did you see that? Speaking of the Vikings, did you see that video of Kirk Cousins on the plane all iced out?
That was great.
You know, someone called him Little Kirk, bro. I've been thinking about it all day. Little Kirk.
Awesome. I love it. A couple other big trades that happened. The Vikings part of it. TJ Hockenson to the Vikings. This is obviously because Irv Smith got hurt and they really think they're going to make a run. He had a good game, I think, already. I mentioned the Bears. Man, Chase Claypool to the Bears now looks better. At the time when I first saw it, I was like, man, this is where the Bears are just where receivers go to die. You know, like think about how many receivers just went to the Bears and their careers just plummeted after that. But because after this week, I think maybe you're right. I think Claypool has a maybe bright future with the Bears. Chase Edmonds to the Broncos. This is interesting. Right after I told everybody, go pick up Chase Edmonds as your, you know, to back up Raheem Mostert, that whole thing shifted. I'm curious to see. I think Chase Edmonds might be better in Denver. An offense is more built for him. And then Miami went right out and replaced him with Jeff Wilson, who fits perfectly in that system and is basically a poor man's Raheem Mostert. He's like the perfect backup. They're like the same guy almost.
Mm-hmm. Already knows the offense.
Oh, yeah.
Perfect.
Plug him right in and he did great. So I liked both of those moves for both of those players, really. Naeem Hines, much maligned on this podcast, to the Bills, did nothing with the Bills. Is he just...
Well, good thing he doesn't care about fantasy points because he'd be embarrassed.
Yeah, because he didn't get any, right? So, fucking Naeem Hines. And the more notable were a couple of the no trades. Cam Akers didn't get traded and then was back on the field with the Rams. Like, they're patching things up. He looked actually okay. Kareem Hunt didn't get traded, which everyone kind of thought he was going to. We thought he was. Elijah Moore didn't get traded. Brandon Cooks was almost a Cowboy, they said. Like, down to the wire, almost a Cowboy. Would you have been super excited about that, Lonnie, or just pretty excited?
Pretty excited. I mean, I love Brandon Cooks. I've always been a fan of his, but I think the reason they did not pick him up has something to do with someone who may have had a pretty spectacular play against the Cowboys a couple years ago. So
I know, man,
they might be working on something.
Yeah, that's the rumor. Beckham to the Cowboys. That's going to be a big deal, I think, if it happens. That's going to really be interesting.
Well, we're going to find out. I think he gets cleared on Friday. So,
yeah,
he's cleared this week. So,
I know.
We might find out.
All right. So, let's play over-under. I just thought of another over-under. I'm going to play over-under. I'm going to give you guys a number and a situation. You're going to give me an over or an under. Number of years Odell Beckham plays for the Cowboys if he signs with them. This year counts as year one. How many years will Odell Beckham play for the Cowboys if he signs with them this year? I'm going to set the over-under. I'm sorry. This is playing over-under. 2 years. You going over or under? This year counts. This year and next year, more than that or less?
Under.
You're saying less than 2 years. So this is it, yeah. Just this year. Lonnie? Yes. 2 years.
I'm going to say the under because I think he's going to be zero because I don't think he's going to sign with the Cowboys.
You don't think so? Where else is he going
to go? No, because if any time Jerry makes a declaration like that, he never ends up signing. I think he might go to Buffalo.
He might go to the Giants. I heard he might go back to the Giants.
He might go back to the Giants. Cleveland, I think, might be an option as well.
Back to Cleveland? Back to New York? What is happening?
Yo, his dad would fight him. No chance.
No, he's got a different quarterback, though, a different system.
It's a different situation altogether, actually, really. Yeah.
San Francisco, I mean, I don't know. I couldn't tell you. But
All right. Everybody's kind of holding their breath waiting to see where he goes. This is a very, he's kind of the big piece that has yet to fall. All right. Let's play over under. Number of coaches to lose their job this season. We've already lost two, I believe, right? Matt Rhule and Frank Reich. Are those the only two who have been fired so far this year? Panthers and Colts. I don't think anybody else has gotten fired yet. So, number of coaches to get fired this season. I'm going to set the over-under at 5.5. That's a 5.5. So, over 5.5 coaches get fired from this season or less. You're going over under.
Are you including? Are you including like end of the season? Like do not make it into next season.
Yes. Do not coach their same team next season. 5.5. Over under.
Right, I'm looking at the worst teams right now.
I don't think the Jags aren't going to fire their coach. No. You got the Broncos.
I think that's a big possibility.
Dude, I think 10 coaches are getting fired.
10 coaches?
I swear to God, dude. I'm looking at this. I would get rid of 10 of these guys.
You would, but you're not. It's not. I don't think it's going to be 10. But you're going over then, I say.
I'm going over, though, is what I'm saying.
Over 5.5? Yeah. Lonnie, what do you think? Over, under, 5.5?
I'm going to say over. So we're including the two now, right?
Including the two, yeah. So you think four more are going to get fired?
I think you're going to see possibly Josh McDaniels in Las Vegas lose his job. Nathaniel Hackett is probably going to lose his job. You might see Ron Rivera lose his job.
I don't think so.
Let's see. Who else?
Well, Josh McDaniels. So Josh McDaniels was one of those, was the next over-under, because I thought it was going to come up. Josh McDaniels' tenure, 2.5 years, over under. You're going under. You think he's going to lose it after 1 year? 1 year? 2.5 years was the over under I was going to set for Josh McDaniels.
I think there's a lot of money invested in Vegas, man. I think they need to win now. They got Davante Adams. They're trying to make moves. They got Josh Jacobs. They don't have like a bad team.
I know. Right.
And remember, this is not his first foray into head coaching. He did this before and dipped out.
That's true. But no, he didn't dip out. He got fired by the Broncos.
Well, that's what I mean. He got fired.
After a few years. That was not a great team, though. Okay. And then last over-under, did you guys watch the pregame Prime Video Thursday night at all?
Mm-mm.
All right. So apparently Amazon Prime has hired Marshawn Lynch to do a pregame segment where he goes to some place in the city or does something, and he goes and interviews people, and he just basically, they're paying him to be Marshawn Lynch, which is hilarious because they had to bleep out his, like, the segment for probably a good 30 seconds out of the segment was just bleeped. There was a whole conversation he had with a lady that was mostly bleeped out. Like, he just doesn't, they don't give a shit. They're just letting Marshawn say whatever the fuck he wants. So he went to NASA or whatever and was just talking to them about nonsense. It was great. It was one of the best TV I've seen in a while. It was absolutely phenomenal.
Marshawn Lynch is a national treasure, man.
He really is, dude. He's incredible. All right, so the number of times Marshawn Lynch will get bleeped in his next segment, I'm setting the over-under at 6.5.
Come on. Way over.
Let's go with the over.
Going over 6.5 times. It's pretty close. It's pretty I mean, six bleeps is a lot. One television for one, like, 5 minute television segment. Six bleeps is quite a lot. You think you're still going over?
I'm
confident.
I don't even know where he's going, but I can't wait to watch.
Especially if Skittles are involved. It's over.
Oh, dude. He is all fucking in on Skittles. All right. Let's do real quick. We'll go returns and waivers. I don't know if anybody's returning this week from injury. Probably not. maybe we got Jarvis Landry, maybe you got Darren Waller. Those guys are just, who knows. Waivers, there's not a lot left. This is the barren wasteland of mid-season waivers. And it also happens to be a lot of teams buy like just terrible bye weeks. This week, and I guess week 11 is also a lot of bye weeks happening. Daryl Henderson might be out there. Latavius Murray is a possibility for some points. Tyler Algiers with the Falcons. These are guys, desperate moves, desperate times call for desperate waivers.
We lost Vital.
Okay, I'll keep going on waivers. He'll be back. Michael Gallup, Isaiah McKenzie, Terrace Marshall might be the number two receiver for Carolina. He's actually had two pretty decent games in a row. He's a real young guy with a ton of talent. Tight ends, we got Cole Kmet, Noah Fant, a couple guys with some pretty high upside based on the way their offenses are playing right now. And Cade Otton with the Bucks scored a touchdown, first Bucks tight end touchdown of the year. Couple quarterbacks with some nice matchups this week. If you need to fill in at a quarterback, Derek Carr, where's Derek Carr playing? I like Derek Carr's matchup. Derek Carr playing at Denver, Jared Goff playing against the Giants, and Matthew Stafford against New Orleans. Okay, if you need a fill-in. And then what else? Oh, a couple guys maybe coming off byes. We got Gus Edwards and Paris Campbell. They're not probably playing next week, but if you have room on your bench. And then, of course, dude, the big one who's out there, he's available in most leagues. Odell Beckham. I mean,
I tried to pick him up right now on the podcast.
You don't have room on your team, though, do you? I tried to pick him up before the podcast. Dude, here, Vital's back with his Dolphins background. Dude, we're just talking about, all right, so we're talking about waiver potential. Odell Beckham is available in like a lot of leagues. And the problem right now is that Lonnie tried to pick him up. I was looking at picking him up. I don't have room on my bench with my buys coming up, and he's not designated as out. You can't pick him up, move him to injured reserve, and then, you know, grab somebody else as a fill-in. So it's going to be kind of a little bit of a mad scramble with Odell Beckham Jr. Like, who can make room on their bench for him, and how much money are you spending? If it's free agent budget, it's going to be very interesting, but I think Odell Beckham's going to probably get snatched up this week on waivers. It's going to depend on the team and how many injuries and buys they're dealing with. I'm certainly going to look at him. If I can get him, I'm probably going to try. All right. Now let's move to players we do not want on our team, where we pick the worst quarterbacks of the week. I'd rather have Kaepernick than. Last week on I'd rather have Kaepernick than, Lonnie picked Zach Wilson, good pick, 9.56. Pretty solid, bad showing. I took Davis Mills, a very respectable 11.96. Davis Mills has been consistently not great. And Vital picked Justin Fields against his Dolphins, who put up 46.72 fantasy points in our league. Was he the highest scoring quarterback in the league in fantasy last week? He was. He was the number one fantasy quarterback. I assume you're not going to take him with your first overall pick.
Take him just out of spite.
You should. No, I think you should spite yourself. That would be fun to watch. I don't think you're going to. So Vital, you get first pick, obviously. You should almost get first pick for like 2 weeks in a row for that score. That was so bad.
I mean, but I'll happily take it.
You probably will get, well, if you pick him again, you will get first pick 2 weeks in a row. We're looking at PJ Walker. They did announce that he is going to play. He was knocked out. Baker Mayfield came back in. The Panthers have said that they think PJ Walker will be the starter against Atlanta. So not a serious injury there. Who you got? We got Zach Wilson at New England, PJ Walker at Baltimore. Sam Ellinger is playing against. Oh, wait, no. Hold on. Sorry. This is wrong. I'm 1 week ahead. My bad. I was looking at some other shit. Back that up. Back that truck up.
Sam Ellinger not playing.
Taylor Heinicke at Philly. We talked about Taylor Heinicke being good. Philly's defense, though, also good. PJ Walker against Atlanta. This is the problem. Bad quarterbacks playing bad teams this week. Or bad defenses, but Atlanta's defense has been feisty. Sam Ellinger playing Vegas. Jacoby Brissett playing Miami. Davis Mills against the Giants. Andy Dalton, probably. I don't know what the Jameis Winston situation is, but theoretically Andy Dalton against Pittsburgh. I think they think Ryan Tannehill will be back, but Malik Willis played pretty well against those Chiefs, man. That was a pretty good game. That was fun. We didn't even talk about that. You guys buying in on the Titans?
Ryan Tannehill is going to be back, right?
Who?
Because I think they're expecting Tannehill to come back.
I think they are too, yeah. But that was an interesting game last night. That was a pretty good one, giving the Chiefs a run for their money. Kenny Pickett against New Orleans. What do you think, Vital? What do you think?
Negative points.
Let me throw this one out
there. Really torn between Sam Ellinger and Brissett. I want to bet on the Dolphins, but the Raiders are.
The Raiders defense is.
All right, I'm going to go with Sam.
You're going Sam
Ellinger? The Raiders are.
For sure?
Yeah.
Sam Ellinger against the Raiders defense. There's also, I don't know, it's interesting. Russell Wilson against the Titans. Titans made it tough on Mahomes for a little while last night. So, all right, Sam Ellinger. I'm going to go, I get number two pick. I think I'm going to take PJ Walker against the Falcons. PJ had a bad game. Falcons defense has been better than advertised. Lonnie, what do you got? A lot of our favorites are out there on buys next week.
I know.
The Davis Mills Giants matchup, I kind of like. I might even play the Giants defense next week as a fill-in for my Patriots. Yeah. Problem with Davis Mills is he hasn't been really bad, but he hasn't been really good. He's just been like hovering around 10, 12 points, which kind of it puts you in the mix. But
I mean, for me, the choice would be Malik Willis, but I just can't depend on
you don't know. Play. We don't know. Yeah, we don't know who's playing. I almost want to pick Russ, honestly, against the Titans, because I think he could have an awful game, but he looked better last week.
The problem is that I think the Titans give up a lot of touchdowns.
Yeah.
If
they play ball control, though, man, like you might just not see that many opportunities. And Denver just lost Bradley Chubb.
You know what? I'm going to go with Davis Mills.
Old reliable. And by that, I mean unreliable Davis Mills. All right. You guys need anything for tonight's game? Or are your matchups? Yours is already way out of reach, right? But you're done. Lonnie?
A miracle. Yeah, I get a few of those. I'll be fine.
Yeah. What about you, Lonnie? Your matchup's done? Did you?
I'm locked up. Yeah,
I won. Did you win? Did you win this week? Yep. You did. You won again. I need in two leagues, I need Devin Duvernay. It's something, you know, you never want to have to rely on, but I got Devin Duvernay. I need like 10 to 12 points from him in two different leagues to pull it off. So it's going to be really interesting. Also, I'm going to be watching closely that matchup between Max and Terzo in our league, the 3-5 and the 4-4, the two highest scoring teams of the week. And it looks like it's going to come right down to the wire in that one. So that's going to be fun to watch. All right, let's play DraftKings tonight. We got our captain mode engaged. Who do you guys pick for captains for DraftKings tonight?
Lamar.
Vital, Lamar. We're all on Lamar. Nobody was willing to venture outside of that. So it's going to be about the secondary, guys. It's going to be good. All right. Everybody's on Lamar. I wonder if we haven't had a same lineup situation yet this year. See if that happens tonight. I could see
it never happens. I don't think it happened this year either.
It's happened a couple times. It's happened to us a couple times.
Right? With all three of us?
No. We're two of us had. If all three of us picked the same things and you just flush this week down the toilet. Who do you guys like in tonight's game? Ravens, Saints. They both looked pretty good last week, didn't they? You taking the Ravens?
I like Baltimore, yeah.
Yeah. Vital?
I don't know. I could see the Saints stealing it. Yeah.
I could too. I could see it. Who's home?
I'm on the Saints.
You're going Saints? I think I'm going to go Ravens. I think I'm going to go with the Ravens. I like where they're at right now. And I think that's about it for us. Do you guys have any shows you want to promo coming up this week? Anything coming up?
I'll be at Villain Theater on Friday. Check me out, 10 o'clock.
Nice. Villain Theater, 10 o'clock Friday night. I got a couple things going. Wednesday, I'm in Miami. Coral Gables for a show Aaron put together, I guess. It's at, what is that place called? Bay 13 Brewery. Friday night, got a show at Chainbridge Distillery in Oakland Park. which is going to be a lot of fun. And Saturday, I'm up in Inverness, Florida with Grant Tolliver at this place called the Valerie Theater, way up in northern Florida. I don't know, northwestern Florida, whatever the hell Inverness is. So that should be fun. All right. For everybody watching, listening, everybody who watches and listens, thank you guys for watching and listening to us. You can watch us live every Monday evening before the Monday Night Football game. You can listen to us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and a bunch of other ones. You can also follow our Facebook page, our Instagram page, and our TikTok for funny short clips from this week's show and other shows in the future. Thank you guys for listening. Thank you for watching, and good luck.